then we go to our open administration, which is committee work in process.
That's right. So this is agenda paper number 10, which, again, we've split into three sections. We've got our ongoing issues, so issues that the staff are currently working on and that we expect to bring to a future meeting for another go at these. For each of these, we've provided you with details about where we've got to on these. Some of them perhaps are a little more detailed than we've done previously. We just thought they'd be helpful to do that, to give you a bit more information. So on those ongoing issues, are there any questions? So these are the issues on the definition of a business. There's the deferred tax for a single asset in a corporate wrapper. And we have the valuation of biological assets using the residual method. So of those three, are there any questions before I move on to the next section? Okay. Then the next section is new issues that we've received submissions for. The copies of the submissions are included in the appendix to the paper. These are issues that we've had a preliminary look at among the staff and that we are working towards bringing these hopefully to the September meeting with a paper giving you an analysis of these. Now, one of the reasons for giving the submissions to you now in the appendix is so that if you've got some particular input that you would like to give us from your own experience with dealing with similar issues, then please do get in touch with us and outside of the meeting to share with us that experience. That would just add to the depth of the analysis that we can give you as a committee as a whole. So please do provide that to us. Any questions on those new issues? Rod?
Yes. There is one I would like to highlight as being a kind of urgent issue, which is the one dealing with measurement of the net DBO for post-employment benefit plans with employee contributions. It's a real life issue which many I've been stumbling into for a couple of months now, where we don't know where to go. And implementation of the revisions of IAS 19 is for 1st January 2013, retrospective application, and for handling this, you need to have the systems also in place. So, and when we will have to deal with it, it's going to be very important that we have examples with illustration, with calculations to understand where you will be getting at. And so that we understand also how this would be changing practices. Depending on the staff recommendation, is it going to change the practices? If it is going to change the practices, how? And so on.
I mean, my reading of this issue is that it is triggered by the amendments that were made to IAS 19 in 2011. So to the extent that it's changing practices, I would view that as being a change caused by the change to the standard, and so the transition guidance in IAS 19 would therefore apply. That is how you would apply the new requirements.
Yes, but the submission is a good one because it really highlights the real questions. Because so far, for general employee contributions, they have been accounted for as a reduction of service costs, full stop. They have not been imputed into the DBO and so on. There is many problems of, if you do so, bad attribution and so on. So it's, believe me, it's a complex
point. I take your point about the timeliness of it, but just sort of thinking about the timelines involved with our due process, there's a limit as to what we can do on a short-term basis. So just to manage expectations there. Okay, and then the final section is issues on hold. So issues
that also mentioned this back.
the SPACs.
Yep. Did you want to mention that one separately?
About the, we're aware of this being an issue elsewhere, and this is the Business Combinations Special Purpose Acquisition Company. We had independently brought to our attention this very same issue from another constituent. They haven't at this stage sent us a letter on this, but we've been told that we will receive a letter on this. But they contacted us independently before this paper was published. So we're aware from another jurisdiction that this is a problem as well. So we're already aware there's diversity in practice. I mean, we will also be completing our usual outreach on this, but we're aware from these independent submissions that there's diversity in practice on this item.
There's also been some press coverage, not on the accounting, but on the use of this vehicle in some private equity deals in the United States. Scott?
I was just going to mention that, I mean, there's a long history of dealing with SPACs in the U.S. We don't have the accounting question because I think the SEC resolved it 25 years ago or something like that. So we've got a bunch of issues of fraud with SPACs, but the accounting questions were resolved quite some time ago. So there's
just to satisfy my curiosity, that's reverse acquisition accounting.
Yeah, and if the accounting acquirer is not a business, if it's just cash in an entity, which is often the case with SPACs, then it's not a business combination at all. You just account for it as if the accounting acquirer legal target issued shares in exchange for whatever cash is in the entity it acquired. So you don't do goodwill, you don't expense, you just account for it as an equity offering.
So how do you deal with the difference between the fair value of the shares issued and the fair value of the cash that's in the entity?
You account for it as if the shares were issued in exchange for the cash in the entity.
There were a number of issues in the previous paper, in Lily's paper, dealing with the use of NewCo in business combinations. And the committee had reached certain decisions on those. And so I was wondering why we expected this to come up with a different answer than
the issues that I think you're referring to. There was an element of, is it a common control business combination or not? And this was one where, certainly our preliminary reading of the submission is that it wasn't a common control BizCom question. This was two independent parties coming together.
Okay.
I think the other element is that
depends on who forms NewCo, right?
In looking at least some of the firm material, there may be a problem in IFRS 3 that seems to get you into a do loop, and that did seem to us that it'd be something the committee could resolve. So we'll be bringing this to you in September.
Scott?
I was just going to confirm to Pat, my experience with SPACs is that what you have is a group of people who formed the SPAC without having identified an operating company to acquire. And so you don't have a common control situation when the merger occurs. And that's what I think makes it different than these other issues that we have pushed off to the board. I'm wondering if the board is about to push common control back to us, but I hope not.
Don't think so. Michael?
Okay. And then that leads us on to the issues on hold. So items that you've taken them as far as you can for now, but we are waiting for board progress to be able to pick them up. And these are the contingent payments for purchase of PPE and intangibles, and the long-term prepayments for inventory in supply contracts, which obviously we're intending to bring back as the board progresses on respective projects. Are there any questions on those issues?
Okay. Oh, Joanna. Sorry, not specifically on those, but your last two paragraphs in terms of things that are still at the staff level, are there significant items that you're still researching that are...
No, there isn't.
Okay. And the second one, and Wayne, you raised it last time, push-down accounting was something that was talked about?
Yeah, I've communicated with the National Standard Centers on that and received a response, and I think sent an informal communication to Julie Earhart at the SEC. Highly summarized, the common answer was, no, we don't see push-down accounting in anything but an occasional U.S. registrant. We don't see it being used in our jurisdiction. The exception to that would be Canada, where they did have a standard, I believe, application guidance or of some sort, specifically directed at push-down accounting situations. But they were the only of the national standard setters who responded, who had any practice experience in the area and had any desire for anything more to be done. So that's kind of where it's...
So it's effectively on hold.
...wound up, and I've communicated that. I know informally to Julie, I just don't remember if I actually put something in writing.
Thank you.
Yes.
On the employee contributions, I know that the Dutch standard setter has been spending quite a lot of time looking at it, because I understand that locally they have issued a recommendation how to account for them, allowing different treatments. So you may want to get in touch with the Dutch standard setter.
Thank you. Okay. We will now go into closed session. If I can invite our guests to...